Gyantimidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Tatati Swapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahakana Raghunathambitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Katam Sahakanna Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Inabandhu Jagatpate Isha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sate Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari Oma Pavitra Pavitrova Sarvavastam Gatobhisma Yasmarik Pundarikaksham Sabhaya Vyantara Suchi. Whether one is unpurified or purified, or whatever circumstances one may pass through in life, if one remembers the beautiful, lotus-eyed, supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna, one becomes purified both within and without. This verse which we recite on the occasion of taking sacred vows encapsulates the very purpose of life. Atapum bird vijastreshtas varna shvama vibhagasha shvanushtatasya dharmasya samsadir haritoshanam. Whatever our varna or our ashram, whether we are Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, or anything else, whether we be Brahmacharis, Vanaprastas, Grihastas, or Sannyasis, our prime duty and our highest purpose is to please Krishna. It is declared in the scriptures that the two cardinal principles which all of the instructions and injunctions are meant to facilitate is to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Today, my very dear God brother, His Grace Jagat Chakshu Prabhu, will be accepting the lifelong vows of a sannyasi. He has given his life for almost 40 years in the service of Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas, and has proven himself an illustrious preacher, very kind-hearted, compassionate, and deeply imbibing Srila Prabhupada's spirit. In fact, all of the leaders and the devotees in the Latin American area have pushed him forward, insisted that he take sannyas, and even fast-forwarded the process so that he could take sannyas today. I'd like to read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The spirit that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself established when he took sannyas. This is from the Madhya Lila, chapter 4. After accepting the sannyas order of life, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of an intense love for Krishna, wanted to go to Vrindavan, but apparently by mistake he wandered in Radhadesh. Later he arrived in Shantipur and enjoyed himself there with his devotees. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everyone, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya. Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda.
All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Nityananda, all glories to Advaita Prabhu, and all glories to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya headed by Srivas. At the end of his 24th year, in the month of Magh, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas order during the waxing period of the moon. After accepting the sannyas order, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of intense love for Krishna, started for Vrindavan. However, he mistakenly wandered about in trance continuously for 3 days in the tract of land known as Radhadesh. Passing through the tract of land known as Radhadesh, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited the following verse in ecstasy. And since this time, this verse is considered by Gaudiya Vaishnavas to be sannyas mantra, which Srila Prabhupada requested all sannyasis to chant every day and to carefully study and understand the import. Etam saastaya paratmanishtam adyashitam purvatam mayar mahadvi aham tarishyami duranta param tamo mukundangrini sevayaiva. As a Brahmin from Avanti Desh said, I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean of nescience by being firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. This was approved by the previous acharyas, who were fixed in firm devotion to the Lord, Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In connection with this verse, which is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11/23/57, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that of the 64 items required for rendering devotional service, acceptance of the symbolic marks of a sannyas is a regulative principle. If one accepts the sannyas order, his main business is to devote his life completely to the service of Mukunda, Krishna. If one does not completely devote his body and mind to the service of the Lord, he does not actually become a sannyasi. It is not simply a matter of changing dress. In Bhagavad Gita, it is also stated, Anashrita karma palam karyam karma karotiya sasanyasi cha yogi cha. One who works devotedly for the satisfaction of Krishna is a sannyasi. The dress is not sannyas, but the attitude of service to Krishna is. The word Paratmanishta means being a devotee of Lord Krishna. Paratma, the Supreme Person, is Krishna. Ishwara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha. Those who are completely dedicated to the lotus feet of Krishna in service are actually sannyasis. As a matter of formality, the devotee accepts the sannyas dress as previous acharyas did. He also accepts the three dandas. Later, Vishnu Swami, considering that accepting the dress of a tridandi was paratmanishta, therefore sincere devotees add another danda, the jiva danda, to the three existing dandas. The Vaishnava sannyasi is known as a tridandi sannyasi. Then Srila Prabhupada explains the difference between a Tridandi sannyasi and a Mayavadi sannyasi. Mayavadi sannyasis accept one danda, symbolizing that when you take sannyas, you become Narayan, one with Brahman. But Vaishnava sannyas, Tridanda, is the act of surrendering one's body, mind, words, and life in the eternal service of the servants of the servants of Lord Krishna. The Tridanda represents, Prabhupada says, unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. The most intimate devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, namely Gadadhar Pandit, accepted Tridanda Sannyas and also accepted Madhava Upadhyaya as his Tridandi Sannyasi disciple. It is said from this Madhvacharya, the Sampradaya known in Western India as the Ballabha Sampradaya has begun. Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who is known as the Smriti Acharya in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, later accepted the Tridanda Sannyas order from Tridandipad Prabodhananda Saraswati. Although acceptance of Tridanda Sannyas is not distinctly mentioned in the Gaudiya Vaishnava literature, the first verse of Srila Rupa Goswami's Upadesh Amrita advocates that one should accept the sannyas, the Tridanda Sannyas order, by controlling the six forces. Vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam jiva vegam udaropasta vegam etan vegam yo visaheta dira sarvam apimam prativim sashishyat. One who controls the forces of speech, mind, anger, belly, tongue, and genitals is known as a Goswami and is competent to accept disciples all over the world. The followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never accepted the Mayavad order of sannyas, and for this they cannot be blamed. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Sridhar Swami, who was a Tridandi sannyasi, but the Mayavadi sannyasis, not understanding Sridhar Swami, sometimes think that Sridhar Swami belonged to the Mayavad Ekadanda sannyas community. Actually, this was not the case. Herein we find Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example. The Lord is Krishna himself, who spoke the highest truths in Sri Bhagavad Gita, who empowered Shukadev Goswami to speak the essence of all knowledge in Srimad Bhagavatam. But that same Lord appeared personally in this world, in this age of Kali, to demonstrate how everyone and anyone can perfect their lives. And he did it by his own example. He was the perfect grihastha. Took care of his wife, took care of his widowed mother, had so many friends, and along with the other Vaishnavas, he was constantly immersed in hearing about Krishna and chanting the holy names of Krishna day and night, worshiping the deity of Krishna. At the same time, he performed his prescribed duties as a teacher to maintain the needs of the family. Very humble, eager to serve everyone, and so compassionate. He would go out with his devotee associates on Nam Sankirtan. What a grihastha he was. He personally faced the Chankazi and all of his military and soldiers and told the community of Navadweep, we will march in Harinam Sankirtan. Not march, dance in Kirtan all the way to his house and force him to accept our movement. Hare Krishna, he did. Such a grihastha, so fearless, so compassionate. Based on the instruction of his spiritual master, he dedicated everything to cultivating the holy name and preaching the glories of the holy name to the world. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that there were people who were committing offenses to him, they were not accepting him because they just considered him ordinary like them, he decided to take sannyas. His taking sannyas, according to his own words, was for two reasons. To totally absorb himself in meditating and serving Krishna without any distraction, without any other responsibility, without any duty, except the loving service of the Lord. Exclusive devotion. 24 hours a day, he was not distracted by any sorts of secular, social, domestic, family responsibilities. He could give his everything to traveling and to preaching the glories of the holy name of the Lord and absorbing himself. He taught us that sannyas means a vow to dedicate one's body and all of its actions, one's words and all of its speech, and one's thoughts, one's mind, and one's very life as the exclusive property of Guru and Krishna. Srila Prabhupada is explaining here, this is sannyas. It is not just the formality. It is not just the dress and the danda. It is the spirit of total exclusive surrender. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, was repeatedly chanting this verse, Etam sa astaya paratmanishtam, which is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the story of the Avanti Brahman. That story is very, very striking. Avanti Brahman was quite a wealthy person. He got caught up by greed, got caught up by anger, as so many people do, caught up by lust, just dealing with material affairs. And sometimes he was misusing people. But ultimately, by the power of destiny, he lost everything. He lost all of his wealth, all of his prestige, all of his family members condemned him and rejected him and left him. The society at large just considered him a useless parasite. They would throw things on him. They would chastise him. He was homeless. He had nothing. And he suffered miserably. But then this verse emerged from his heart. I will follow in the footsteps now of the great souls and give my exclusive devotion to Mukunda, Lord Krishna. And by doing so, I will cross this ocean of material existence. And that not only did he become totally blissful, but he attained love of God and complete perfection. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cited this verse as an instruction. What is a sannyasi? A sannyasi is a person who in his heart considers, I have nothing. Nothing is mine. I don't want anything. I don't want wealth. I don't want the pleasures of the opposite sex. I don't want prestige. I don't want followers. All I want, nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajagadisha kame mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti ratvaiti, is to chant the holy names, to hear about Krishna, and to serve Krishna in any situation. Srila Prabhupada emphasized that a sannyasi should be fearless, because we only fear when there is attachment. When you have an attachment, you're afraid of losing it. But a sannyasi considers everything as the property of Krishna. I'm just the servant of the servant of the servant. So when you're sannyasi, you can go anywhere to do Krishna's will. Now, factually, everything we're talking about, a brahmachari can do also. And a grihastha in spirit can also be a sannyasi, if one is really detached and use everything for Krishna's service. But sannyas is important within our society. So people are free from any obligations, especially to serve the rest of society, to give their everything to uplift others without any other distraction. On one level, it was really for preaching purposes that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. And our own beloved Guru Maharaj was living in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada. He accepted, 1959, sannyas, the Keshava Gaudiya Math in Mathura, specifically for the purpose of fulfilling his guru's instruction, to spread Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching and the glories of the holy name all over the world. And it's interesting, the day Prabhupada took sannyas, Bhakti Pragyan Keshava Maharaj, his godbrother, performed the service on behalf of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur of giving him the sannyas initiation. And during that ceremony, Keshava Maharaj asked Prabhupada to speak. And besides Keshava Maharaj and one or two others, nobody else spoke English there. Everyone spoke Hindi and Brijabasi and Bengali. And Prabhupada gave his lecture in English, which was very, very revealing. Because Prabhupada's purpose of taking sannyas was to fulfill the order of his Guru Maharaj, to preach Lord Chaitanya's message all over the world in the English language. He was speaking for the pleasure of his guru. Whether anybody else understood or not, that was not what is important. He was speaking for the pleasure of his guru. That was his absorption. When devotees sit together to observe a sannyas initiation, it should be very sobering. Whether we are brahmacharis or grihastas or vanaprastas, we're seeing a person who's willing to take this step to literally surrender everything, nothing left in my life. No turning back for the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Willing to renounce all the things that practically everyone in the world is mad after. Property, sex life, intimate relations with the opposite sex, family and children, prestige. A person is stepping forward to make vows. These things no longer are a part of my life. Prabhupada said a sannyasi is socially dead. Civil dead man. That means dead to all these things. All I have left is service to Mukunda, service to Gurudev. Absorbed in Krishna and giving Krishna at all costs to others. That is the example of all the great sannyasis in our Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. Real renunciation is also, as Mahaprabhu has stated, renunciation of the false ego. If you're a proud sannyasi, you're a sannyasi in dress only. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gave very, very practical and powerful lessons about what a sannyasi should be. Sometimes we think, now I'm sannyas, especially in India, because in India people honor sannyasis. In India, in America, Europe, the common people, when they see a sannyasi, they just think they think devotees are weird, but sannyasis are really weird. Not only they dress with bed sheets and have mud on their heads and shaved faces, but now they're carrying pink sticks. So you don't get any recognition there. You get the same tomatoes thrown at you as any other devotee. Except in the devotee community. Then you get respected. But in India, the common people respect sannyasi. And the tendency is we become overwhelmed by that honor and respect. When you go to a temple, you often get Mahaprasad. special plate. Sometimes you get your own room instead of sleeping in the ashram. Sometimes you don't also. So there is that tendency. Some special respect and honor is given to me. But a sannyasi should consider that a disturbance. A sannyasi should tolerate that for the sake of serving others. We accept those things only so that we can better serve others, not for ourselves. If we all get attached to being respected, to prestige, then we've taken sannyas for the wrong purpose, and we're not really sannyasis at all. Raghunath Das Goswami, the crest jewel of sannyasis in our sampradaya, he was so humble, he would not speak directly to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he was living practically with him day and night. If he had a question, he would ask Swarup Damodar Goswami. And one day, Swarup Damodar Goswami approached with Raghunath Das Goswami standing next to him, and said to Lord Chaitanya that Raghunath Das has a question for you. He wants to know, I've given up my family, I've given up my wealth, I've given up everything. What is my duties? I really don't know. What is the duties of one in the renounced order of life? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, actually, Swarup Damodar Goswami knows the best. You can ask him these questions. But since you asked me, I will give you the reply. And listen carefully. These instructions are the principle of sannyas, or let us say the principle of renunciation, that will make you a perfect grihastha, a perfect brahmachari, a perfect vanaprastha, and especially a perfect sannyasi. It applies to everyone, but it's mandatory for one to be sannyas. Gramya katana shunibe gramya vartana kohibe. Said one should not speak prajalpa. One should not speak mundane gossip. Now gossip is a very, very intense conditioning in the heart. Sometimes we don't even think we're speaking gossip, but we're gossiping like anything in the name of just being practical, in the name of helping someone, in the name of speaking honestly. Prajalpa, gossip. Srila Prabhupada said in one lecture, the effect of prajalpa. So whenever you speak prajalpa, gramya katha. Gramya katha means the way ordinary village people talk. Not Vrindavan, other places. Said, as you're speaking prajalpa, whatever devotional assets are in your heart are just draining out of your mouth. You're losing it all. Very serious. Your potency, your power that you've acquired through your sadhana, it just goes draining out of your mouth in the form of prajalpa. One should not speak mundane, unnecessary talk, and one should not hear it. Those are the first principles. Second is you should not eat excessive, opulent foodstuffs. You should eat simple. Keep body and mind together. Sometimes you get samosas and halva and all those things. Sannyasis can eat those things, but not too much. Not too often and not too excessively. One should eat simple diet. And one should dress very simple. One should not dress to attract people to you. One should dress in such a way that's very simple, very clean, for the purpose of performing our service to others. And then he goes on, amanina manadena. very important. What is a sannyasi? A person who offers all respect to others. Now, this sometimes is very much misunderstood. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, a sannyasi is one who offers all respect to others and expects nothing in the form of respect for oneself. Sometimes we take sannyas because we think, I will be respected, I will be honored, I will be considered very senior. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, the opposite. Even brahmacharis, sometimes they like to wear saffron because they get some special respect. That means saffron is just a very superficial external piece of cloth, nothing beyond. Real renunciation is renunciation of the false ego, the ahankar. Mahaprabhu said a sannyasi should be humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. That is sannyas. Give all respect to others, expect nothing in return. And if you get respect, never consider it yours. You're simply accepting it on behalf of your spiritual master and Krishna, and give it all to them in a humble spirit of service. And then he continues, the duties of one in the renounced order of life is to constantly chant the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna Kirtana Gana Nartana Paro. The six Goswamis, this was the first thing that they're glorified for. Constantly doing kirtan, constantly chanting the holy names of Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he took sannyas from Keshav Bharati Maharaj in Katwa, what was the first thing he did? Kirtan. He was so ecstatic, he started doing kirtan. Then he asked his guru, Keshav Bharati, to join the kirtan. And Keshav Bharati was so ecstatic, he dropped his danda, he dropped his kamandalu. Lord Chaitanya embraced him. Keshav Bharati went in ecstasy. And Lord Chaitanya said, I'm going to Vrindavan doing kirtan. Keshav Bharati said, I'm going with you. And everybody in the whole town said, we're going with you too. So that was the first thing he did after taking sannyas, just kirtan, chanting the holy names. Sankhya Puravaka, the six Goswamis, very, very strongly, constantly, regularly chanting the holy names, reading about Krishna, talking about Krishna. The duty of a sannyasi is constantly chanting Hare Krishna, absorption in Krishna. Because the idle mind is devil's workshop. Maya is very strong. And the more you commit yourself, the more Maya is going to take seriously trying to divert you. Because you become more of a danger to her service of keeping people in illusion. So we have to keep ourselves filled with Krishna by chanting the holy names, by speaking about Krishna. And then the last instruction is within one's mind. One should meditate on Sri Sri Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. This is sannyas. So today we are witnessing a great disciple of Prabhupada coming forward to take these vows. And it's very special. This year is the 500th anniversary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking sannyas. And Gaur Purnima. I would like to say a few words about Jagachakshu Prabhu. Because first time you've ever come here, yes? Have you been here before? Second time. very few of you actually know him, so I'd like to say something. Last night I interviewed him. And I must say it was fascinating. His mother and father lived in Syria, a country in the Middle East. And there in Syria, they had three sons. And all those three sons died when they were babies. Now, those of you who are mothers and fathers, I think you can sympathize with the suffering that they endured. You carry a child in your womb for 9 months, expecting the joy of a child. Then the child is born, and you're so jubilant, and then within some months it dies. Three in a row. They were Catholics. They went on a pilgrimage to a holy place, and in that holy place, they vowed to God that if you give us a son that lives, we will dedicate this son to you, my Lord. And also the first 3 years of our child's life, we will dress only in the robes of a monk. What year were you born? In December of 1951, their prayer was answered. And this personality sitting amongst us was born. And they dedicated him to God. And as their promise, for the first 3 years, he was always dressed as a little monk. But then after 3 years, they didn't dress him as a monk anymore. They expected other things of him. When he was 2 years old, his family migrated by boat, a one-month voyage, to Venezuela in South America. And then he grew up there. When he was 9 years old, his family returned to Syria. His father was the owner of a big construction company, very successful. And then when, in order to fulfill their promise to the Lord, when he was 14, they put him in a school, a Catholic seminary school, especially to train him to become a priest. But then his father had to leave for Venezuela again, so they had to take him out of the school and they moved back to South America, where he grew up. In 1970, a friend of his came from New York and gave him a gift. It was the Happening album, the album which in 1966 Srila Prabhupada recorded with Mukunda Goswami Maharaj in New York City, where he's chanting Maha Mantra, Brahma Samhita, and also giving an explanation of the Maha Mantra. Hearing Prabhupada's voice intrigued him. Jagachakshu Prabhu explains when he was 15 years old, he used to ask different priests, what does God look like? And they would give very vague answers. They would say, nobody knows. You should not ask questions like this. God is invisible. God is a force. But nobody knows what he looks like. 1973, he was in a restaurant with a friend. And all of a sudden, he started crying. And his friend said, "Why are you crying?" And he said, "You see those gray, ugly buildings in this city? They were made by God. But look on the table, there's a rose. I mean, they were made by man. Those buildings were made by man. But look at this rose on the table. So colorful. So beautiful, so fragrant. It was made by God. I want to know this God. I want to know who he is and what he looks like." He was crying. And according to our desire, Krishna is within our heart and he reciprocates. Because he was crying for Krishna, 1 week later, he met the Hare Krishna devotees. The devotees brought him to the temple. And he asked the same question to the devotees. What does God look like? He asked many people. Never got an answer. The devotee who he asked the question to just pointed to the wall. There was a picture on the wall. Picture of Krishna. He said, "This is what God looks like. He's very beautiful, he's youthful, he has a bluish complexion, he has lotus-like eyes, he has lovely curling black hair, he has a threefold bending form, he wears clothes like lightning, he has a beautiful garland of eternal flowers that extend down to his knees, and he plays a flute." And this young boy just looked at that picture of Krishna and said, "Yes, this is God." And when they told him this was according to Shastras and everything, he was very much impressed, and he joined the temple. And the next day, he was put out on book distribution. Meanwhile, his parents were really, really worried. They really didn't like this fact that he was joining the Hare Krishna movement, and he was moving into a temple, and he was becoming a monk. And they were arguing with him, "Why are you doing like this?" He said, "Well, you promised God that I would dedicate my life. You put me in a seminary to learn how to be a monk, so I'm a monk." They said, "Yes, but not this kind of monk." So he joined a temple a couple hours away from his home. And he didn't tell anybody where he was going. And they had no idea. And this temple was not even in phone books or anything, I don't think. Nobody knew where it was. It was just opened. It was the first temple ever opened in this country. And his parents were searching frantically for him. And he told me the story that because there was no way to find him, they went to a psychic seer, this tantric type of psychic seer. And they approached and said, "Can you find my son?" And the psychic person called for a ghost and told the ghost to search for him. And the ghost searched all over Venezuela. I'm only quoting what Jagachachu Prabhu told me. And then they came back to the parents, the ghost came back to that psychic seer, and then the psychic seer said, "We found your son. This is the address in this city, and this is the address exactly on this street." So three cars with the mother, the father, the cousins, the uncles, they all came at Evo. And they were very impressed, actually, by the hospitality. And they were thinking, you know, they blessed him because they were certain that he wouldn't last. when they saw the conditions of the temple. In 1975, he was initiated by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and given the name Jagat Chakshur Das. He remained there in Caracas, Venezuela for some time. He met Prabhupada there personally. In fact, he wrote a book, Srila Prabhupada in Venezuela, which is one of the most popular books in the Spanish-speaking language, and soon it will be translated into English. In 1979, he was sent by his authorities to become the temple president of Madrid, Spain. And he started a Bhakta ashram. And in 1 month, by his preaching, 35 devotees joined, committed their lives. Then he opened a temple in the Canary Islands. In 1984, he was asked to return to Venezuela, where he became the temple president there and preached and practiced by his example. 1993, he was called to Los Angeles, California, to speak to the vast Spanish-speaking community there. And from that time on, he began to travel and preach and give Krishna consciousness. At present, he's the zonal secretary for Central America. He preaches all over Latin America and the Spanish-speaking countries in Europe. And what's most beautiful about Jagat Chakshur Prabhu is his own personal character. My dear godbrother, Guru Prasad Swami, has been working with him for years and simply loves this man. And everybody I've talked to, where he goes, he just doesn't have false ego. He's so humble. He's so absolutely giving, willing to sacrifice himself for others. Very, very humble soul. Very learned. He knows the shastras. And because of his genuine compassion, he can present the shastras in ways that is not only convincing, but transforms people's hearts. He's perhaps the most empowered and popular Spanish-speaking devotee in all of the Hare Krishna movement. And he's such a dear friend and willing to put himself, his everything, for Krishna consciousness, for assisting Prabhupada, for serving the Vaishnavas, and for being an instrument of Prabhupada's mercy. And it was for this reason that Jagajivan Prabhu, Tulsi Devi's father, was very much pushing. He's one of the leaders of Latin America, pushing that he take sannyas as soon as possible. In fact, it was his pushing that he take today in Radha Gopinath Temple. And the whole GBC was very much pushing. And for me to do this service is impossible unless I really, really get pushed to do it. And I was really pushed. But I'm very honored and grateful that I can offer this humble service to this dear and illustrious godbrother, this wonderful associate of Srila Prabhupada, his great Jagat Chakshur Prabhu. Thank you very much. And now we'd like to